This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We're trying to keep our pulse on what's going on with college football. There are a lot of unanswered questions right now, and even more after this weekend when the Pac-12 players united. And they want long-term change for safety, racial injustice, student-athlete exploitation. And for this, man, we wanted to get the thoughts of a guy who covers college football, Fox Sports, FS1, Bruce Feldman, joining us right now on the WaitForIt.com hotline. And, Bruce, when I saw this over the weekend with the Pac-12, I said, uh-oh, because you and I both know this thing could spread to other conferences. Where are we at with this right now as far as the Pac-12's response? I know they submitted this to, the folks in charge there, but have they responded at all?
Not yet. I think that's something where they're trying to really sort this out a little bit. We did an extensive story on The Athletic that went up last night from talking to a lot of people involved, both the players as well as people inside the Pac-12. And I think one of the things that people have had a hard time kind of figuring out this, because you see a lot of it on social media and players retweeting and commenting off of it. And so it's assessing how big this movement really is right now. And one of the things we've heard from a lot of people within the Pac-12 now is, okay, so we've seen players, you know, Penei Sewell, who's a lot of people think maybe the second or third pick in the draft next year, the best player in the Pac-12, is a huge offensive lineman at Oregon. You know, he has tweeted about this movement as well. The questions are these players, yes, they support some of the other ones who are directly involved with this, and I'm sure it'll grow more, but does supporting it mean necessarily that other players are going to sit out if these demands are not made and there is not more of a negotiation? And I think that's one of the challenges here. I mean, a couple of the coaches I talked to in the Pac-12 said, look, I agree with a lot of things. I think they have a lot of valid points on this. Some of the things are already, you know, in place that schools are already doing, but a lot of these things are good ideas, talking to coaches. Now we're going to see. Now, some of the ideas that people will most roll their eyes at is the 50-50 revenue share. And I think that's the kind of thing where you say that and people are like, wait a minute, these are not how the endowments at schools work. Some of these things that I think, you know, hearing the conversations that coaches have had with some of the players involved, was like, wait a minute. And then they'll kind of peel it back and find out that one of the people is the driving force behind this, as we reported on our story in The Athletic yesterday, is Ramogi Huma, who was a former UCLA linebacker years ago, who was also the same person who was behind the Kane Coulter unionization story at Northwestern years back, also the same person who was involved in a story 2 months ago at UCLA where the players were talking about these demands they had for safety matters, that when we looked into it, those demands, those things were already lined up to be in place at UCLA. So it's really interesting to see where this thing is headed and how viable it is as it gets more momentum.
Yeah, we had talked about, I think UCLA, to your point, was talking about, hey, let's get a third party here to make sure that all the protocols actually make sense. Bruce Feldman's with us, guys, at Bruce Feldman CFB on Twitter to follow him. So is this the year that for college football fans who want football, we really, really needed the name, likeness, image thing to have been taken care of, and that these guys then could make, let's be honest, a decision based on the health risk, but at least they'll get compensated? Would that have mitigated some of this?
Maybe a little bit. I just think there's so much frustration out there that I think this was coming to a head. And I think some of the safety matters, and look, some of the things that are put in their list of demands are entirely reasonable and make a lot of sense. The name, image, and likeness thing is coming down the pipeline anyway. It's just, how does the NCAA kind of sort it out? And I think that, you know, you made a good point a minute ago about, like, this is not just going to be an issue that only the Pac-12 athletes and Pac-12 leadership is focusing in on. I mean, I've already seen Amari Rodgers, who's one of the best receivers in the country, plays for Clemson, tweeting off this about how they need unionization in NCAA athletics.
Right.
I mean, this is not gonna, this is the kind of thing where I think you will see it get a lot more traction. The question is, where does it go from here, and how does the leadership in college athletics really sort it out?
We talk about changes to the NCAA, Bruce. There's no sports governing body that looks out for the best interest of student athletes, is there? I mean, is that one change without destroying the current setup of the NCAA and its duties that they could come up with?
Yeah, it's just hard right now in terms of, you look at this, and we obviously have no centralized leadership in college football. And people can say, yeah, they, you know, they need a czar. My old colleague Tim Brando has been, you know, chirping about that for years. And I don't think Tim is wrong necessarily. But the reality of that is, you know, is Greg Sankey and the people who run the SEC, are they going to want to be told by what, you know, about what they should be doing by somebody else that they think is better for the best interest of college athletics, but may not be in the truest best interest of the SEC? I mean, does the Big Ten want to hear that necessarily? Mm. I'm not sure of that. And one thing that, you know, I've kind of heard a lot in the reporting over everything that's gone on in the last few months, especially in the last month, as I've talked to a lot of ADs in Power Five, is, you know, all the talk about how we're going to try to be on the same page and really be kind of more in concert with what some of our other peers are doing. It's been the opposite, right? They've realized it has been every man for himself, every conference for itself, as they try to figure some of this out of what's in the best interest of their own constituents. And so, I think everything's really fragmented, and I'm skeptical when, you know, people are talking about, oh, we may break away from the NCAA if the Board of Governors decide this. I mean, I can see the threat. I'm just like, right now, it just seems like there's just complete disorganization and a real kind of just, it's just really fragmented, and it's only gotten more so.
Bruce Feldman's with us, guys, talking about this article in The Athletic, which starts with the Pac-12, and then you begin to wonder if this momentum carries over to SEC and ACC country. Already saw a top corner at Virginia Tech opt out. We talked about the leak that went to the Washington Post from the SEC conference call with the players, the player leaders. And Bruce, it sure sounds like those guys, they're asking the great questions. It's like, I'm going back to class. Class will be opened up. I might be doing the right thing, but I'm on campus with co-eds going to bars and presumably being out in the world, and they don't know, you know, if you're a lineman, for instance, the idea that you could compromise your cardiovascular system down the road. And that's a risk I wouldn't be willing to take.
Yeah, and then that point you made about the regular students. So middle of last week, I started talking to some trainers in major college football and some in the SEC. And one of the things that I would hear is, you know, they feel like they have a little better handle on dealing with COVID. The players are, by and large, taking this more seriously. But the two things they're really concerned about, and the first one is, what happens when the regular students come back? As you said, I mean, a lot of them, you know, if they catch it, they may feel like, I'm going to be fine, I'll probably be asymptomatic. But it's not like if they catch it, you know, they may not get tested. And then it's not like they're going to be worried about, I may be quarantined for two games or something like that. Or, you know, I could give it to the rest of my position room, and then we have no quarterbacks who are going to be able to play this week. Or it's also, they're not, you know, maybe it's you're around your professor or something, somebody who's older, but, like, there is a bunch of college coaches and staffers who are 60-plus who are definitely more at risk. So I think those are real concerns, and I think that, you know, one thing that we don't really know a ton about is we may see numbers about, okay, this school said they had tested 75 people and only had three positive tests. Are they asymptomatic? And the ones who have symptoms, we don't, you know, we assume that nobody's really gotten very sick or had to go to the hospital from this, because we're only really getting, I think, about a third or a fourth of FBS programs who are really releasing information about their testing, and it's limited in what we're hearing. So, I mean, I've been of the mind that, well, maybe these conference commissioners, they know what's going on in their leagues, that they're knowing, okay, we haven't had anybody had to go to the hospital, so maybe they're feeling more confident about this, and that's led to more optimism. I mean, I think the optimism when we saw scheduling both ACC, SEC, then the Pac-12, I mean, I felt the optimism of that too, and you got your fingers crossed. But, I mean, look, some of this stuff with, you know, you worry about Major League Baseball. If Major League Baseball somehow cannot continue to play, that's a bad sign for college football, just because one is, you're talking about much smaller rosters, less, you know, social distancing, and also they're professionals, whereas college athletes aren't. So, and there's a lot of stuff to kind of keep your fingers on and feel like, okay, can the people who run the sport, can they kind of thread this needle?
Bruce, the Washington Post leaked audio from an SEC Zoom call last week that included football players, you know, voicing their concerns about safety to the medical experts. There weren't a whole lot of answers. How bad does this look for the SEC?
You know, it doesn't look great, because I think what, you know, on one hand, it's like good that they have the dialogue, and I don't want to diminish that. But on the other hand, it's like the answers that were revealed in that story didn't sound like they were that reassuring. Hey, sit in the back of the classroom or whatever. Now, I think one of the things I would not at all be surprised if you may hear leaders at some big school say, hey, you know what, take all your classes online. Don't go to campus if you don't have to. You know, minimize your risks. And while that may not be things that they want to advertise, I think right now that is probably some of the best strategy they can to do that. And I think what that story probably did, especially in a big outlet, it got a lot of traction, was if there is something bad, and you hope it doesn't happen, but if there's something bad that happens, there's going to be a lot of people who will point back to that and go, look, the athletes had this concern. You didn't have great enough answers, but you chose to still press forward.
Right.
That's one thing that's it's going to be hard to get away from, right? I mean, but look, I mean, there are risks. You know, it's not, you know, there are risks to a lot of things, right? And if athletes will still have their scholarships honored, even if they do not feel comfortable or safe enough to play, I mean, I think that's been pointed out. So right now, I think it's just a very, very complicated time. And I would not, honestly, I would not want to be a college AD or a college president right now. I have to make some of these decisions that are very heavy, and you can see how complicated they are.
Bruce, thanks so much. We appreciate you, as always. Good information. This is a story, as we like to say on the show, developing story. We'll see where it goes. Bruce, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.